the UK Dallas Cowboys podcast brought to you by the First and Ten Network. Now, as always, I am joined by Billy and Rob, and we will move on to them in a second. But first off, I'm afraid I have to come to you all with some somber news. There's a couple listeners of the podcast who've got in contact with me recently, and their son has gone missing. So we need all the help we can to find him. He disappeared this weekend, just gone, and he's commonly seen wearing blue and white and likes the number 88. So if anyone out there has seen CD Lamb, his parents are desperately looking for him, as are the rest of the Cowboys. I think, obviously, I'm joking.
I think his ex-girlfriend from draft day is probably really looking for him. Do you remember her?
Yes,
and
I
he was
do.
Like, get off my phone.
No, right, the Cowboys had a great win. And I don't want to take anything away from that. I just thought that was a funny skit to begin with. The Cowboys had a great win. We've done really good. But before we talk about it, if you listen to this podcast, you know the rules. When the Cowboys win, Rob says,
how about them Cowboys?
Hey.
Boom, 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 boom. That's right. We've played four games. We've won three. And let's be honest, if the clock was 3 seconds slower, we'd have won four. It is fun to be a Cowboys fan at the moment, and I'm very, very happy about it. Right, well, let's get straight into the game. We played the Carolina Panthers, who, before we played them, had the number one defense and had allowed less than 100 rushing yards in three games. We might have fucked that up for them a little bit. and it was glorious to watch. Right, well, Rob, let's start with you then, mate. We played the Panthers. What are you saying?
I'm thinking that the first half of the game, well, actually, let's go back to the first possession when we went and scored a touchdown. That was like a statement because nobody expected us to do that. Everybody thought this is the number one defense. This is, you know, they're going to, you know, beat the Cowboys, all the noise. But I could not believe that second half of the game. That second half of the game was remarkable. Everybody was on point. I mean, Dak was doing phenomenal throwing the ball. Didn't really have to, but Zeke turned it up to like 2016 status pretty much. And he just balled out of control. I have this unusual confidence that I haven't had with the Cowboys since 2016. Like, every time they touch the ball, I feel like, well, we're going to do something and it's going to be good. And it's let's not forget Trayvon Diggs, who two picks, like leading the league in turnovers, picks, everything. Everybody's just balling out of control. I thought Micah Parsons would have done a little bit more, but hey, you know, he did enough to what we needed to get done. And, you know, everybody was doing phenomenal, and I'm excited. Like, I thought that game was going to be, we were up by 22 points, and then, you know, I'm like, oh man, now they're just going to coast, rest Trayvon Diggs, and from what I saw at that point, and I was doing some research, I don't think there's not a team that we can't beat. Like, I was looking at, if we continue to play with this intensity, I don't think there's a team we can't beat. Arizona is going to be a battle. It's going to be a challenge.
I agree with you. I could see us beating Arizona.
I can see us beating the Chiefs currently. With how the Chiefs are playing, I can see us beating them. I can see us beating the Bucks.
The thing is, you know, our defense has still let 400 yards every game. It's not this amazing defense, but doing is doing enough to get our offense back on the field.
Well, as long as our defense can keep scoring, conceding less points than the offense, which was the problem we had last year, then we're fine. But funny enough, when you should mention, Rob, when you were just talking about defensive players, the three defensive players that we all said would be the best players were the three best players this week and the three best players, realistically, of the last 4 weeks. And that is Parsons, Gregory, and Diggs.
Diggs. Yes, I think we mentioned it at the end of last week as well. Odigizua again was balling out. He was incredible.
And he's just so fun to say.
Odigizua.
Odigizua.
They're all playing with this intensity that they all want to. Mm-hmm. You know, there's none of this sort of. Do you remember that game where we lost the ball and Zeke was sort of strolling back as everyone was chasing, as if that's it. There's none of that.
No.
They're all there. Although I will say, and I think Rob alluded to it there. First of all, that third quarter was probably the best third quarter of football that's been seen for a long time. We couldn't play that any better on any side of the ball.
No, we couldn't have.
But we took our foot off the pedal very early.
Yeah, we did. But, and don't get me wrong, we shouldn't have done it. But it was kind of nice to take our foot off, not because we were playing shit, but because we were confident. Because I can't remember the last time we took our foot off because we were like, we got this. Like, don't get me wrong, we shouldn't do it. You know, you do that against the Bucks, you do that against the Packers, you do that currently against the Cardinals, it's all going to come bite you in the ass. If we'd have done it against the Chargers, it would have bit us in the ass. Like, I get it. But it was kind of nice just to be like, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, we're good. Like, so kind of nice.
I had a sort of a range of emotions throughout this one. I was sort of really celebrating the early wins. Like Rob said, that first scoring drive was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But I never felt that we had control in that first half at all.
Yeah.
It could have gone either way. And it was only that third quarter that I was like, oh, here we go. Here we go.
But what it was, though, was our defense struggled for the first half.
Yeah.
The offense never really stopped doing what it was doing. It was the defense was doing its job in the first half, but it wasn't getting any takeaways. And that is the thing with our defense at the moment, is our defense isn't fantastic, but when we get takeaways, we make a difference with it.
Yeah. I will say that the omission of Christian McCaffrey on the Panthers team could have been a game changer. We could have lost that game. If that first half carried on as that first half was going and they had Christian McCaffrey, I think we'll be learning something about Penguins rather than hearing Rob cheering, how about them Cowboys?
I agree. I fully agree. Well, I agree with that because look how well Sam Darnold did rushing. Holy shit. Like, imagine if they had Sam Darnold making those moves and we were being hit with Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, we'd have, you know, been a bit more prepped for it because we weren't expecting them to run quite so much. We certainly weren't expecting Darnold to run quite so much. But still, we'd have taken much more of a battering on there, for sure. But may I just say as well, you know, we've given him some shit, but Brown's starting to lock down that cornerback spot a bit more.
Anthony Brown wasn't bad. I tell you who was good. There was a massive surprise. Steele.
Yes.
He was. We gave him a lot of shit last year, mm-hmm. and deservedly so for the majority of it. Although he was kind of thrown in last night. The other night he was great. He's
not been terrible all season.
Not at all. Tyron Smith has been incredible on the left.
Mm-hmm.
I think that entire offensive line has been good. Bayadish has had his issues with when he was facing the Eagles. But I tell you what, one thing I did love was the use of Connor Williams as... Connor Williams? McGovern. Can't remember. As a fullback.
Yep.
So it was like, all right, we need to get 3 yards. Well, I tell you what, let's put our offensive guard as a fullback. Let's put this mm-hmm. big-ass dude there. And it worked. That was crazy. 6 offensive linemen on that field and 2 tight ends.
I mean, we've talked about it already pretty much every week, and we'll talk about it again today. But Kellen Moore's play calling is just stellar at the moment. It's just fucking stellar. It's obviously the players are great, but it's not just the players. Kellen Moore, McCarthy, you know, putting everywhere it is and giving them the freedom to do what they want to do. I mean, you know, sure, he needs to learn how to tell the fucking time, But other than that, in fact, actually, I think we should do a crowdfunder to get him a watch. Yeah, let's do that. Let's crowdfund and send McCarthy a watch. But no, but other than that, like, it's just beautiful. Sorry, Rob, carry on.
I'll say one other thing I want to point out that we've mentioned before, but even more in this game, when Zeke got the ball, he didn't settle for like the 1 yard. If they needed five, he got seven.
Yeah.
His hits, he was driving to everything. So go on.
Everyone can show up about Zeke now. Zeke did 143 yards on the ground, 20 attempts, 7.2 yards average. He broke out a 47 yarder.
Yeah. Well, did you see in the first, the Panthers defense only allowed like, 53 rushing yards on average per game? And we had that like in the first, more than that in the first half.
I will be the downer again, the voice of reason, like I was with the Christian McCaffrey thing. But that, you know, the Panthers were the number one NFL defense coming into this. But the three games they'd played was the Jets, the Saints, and the Texans. Right. So you you got to take that one with a pinch of salt. But even still, Michael Carter has been pretty good for the Jets. The Saints have Alvin Kamara. To stop Alvin Kamara on the ground for 45 yards has been great. The Texans have Ingram and I can't remember David Johnson.
So
it's not like they've got jokers there. So you're right, but you know, number one defense. It's the same with the Broncos being unbeaten. Let's take that one with a pinch of salt too.
Yeah, but they're not anymore, are they?
No, nope. Not at all.
The only unbeaten team right now is the Cardinals, I believe.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah, who saw that one coming, eh?
And the Cardinals.
Kyler Murray.
Not the Cardinals.
No, certainly not the Cardinals. Cardinals are in the toughest division in the NFL.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to come up against any of those teams. We have to, every single one of them, I think.
But... Well, if we have to play Seattle, they can't be that great. Minnesota beat them.
Oh, Minnesota lost me a lot of money this week.
No, surely the Saints lost you a lot of money. The Saints getting beat to the Giants, but that's another thing.
No, would you believe it? I picked the Giants to win that one. Would you believe it? I had Giants to win. Yeah, actually had Giants to win.
What about the Jets to beat the Titans?
No, sorry. Titans and Vikings let me down. I've bet on the Titans.
So... the other thing I want to be the downer on in this game was there was some very dubious referee calling on our side.
Yes, there was on the first half, but the second half I felt like they kind of gave some of it back to him.
One thing I will say, what a weird drive we had. Was it in the second half? No, it wasn't. It was in the second quarter. And Dalton Schultz... yeah, it was, because it was the missed two-point attempt. So Dalton Schultz got tackled for a fumble, which was then ruled that he had his knees down correctly. He definitely had his knee bounced before that ball went. Then the very next play almost, or maybe two plays later, Dalton Schultz again, but this time...
They got the play call.
They
wrong.
Got the call wrong. He definitely they've called it forward movement when the ball was already out at the point of tackle. That should have been a fumble. The ball should have been the Panthers' ball there. The only problem was, and the bit I disagree with the referees on this one, is because it was forward progress, you can't challenge forward progress. So there was nothing that Matt Rhule could do. He would just basically had to sit there and say, all right, then it wasn't a fumble, you fuckers. But if they'd have called it a fumble on the field, then it would have been reviewed immediately, regardless of any challenge flags. So they would have got the right call then. And so the referee should have called a fumble, regardless of what they saw.
But then there was, in the second half... There was that play where it was a hell of a hit on. They called it the defenseless receiver, and when his name, our safety, and then I felt like they gave him, because there was no helmet to helmet.
There was no. It was a step by step shoulder tackle, that wasn't it?
Yeah. And then they gave him that penalty for hitting a defenseless receiver. So I felt like they felt bad for fucking it up.
Yeah, they did.
For that fumble call.
They did.
Yeah.
But Schultz was bobbling that ball everywhere for a while on that drive. And then he sort of got his hands free a bit.
Yeah. But then he was Schultz. Because, I've said, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I was like, I know we've got these tight ends and they're doing their job, but we need to use them more in the throwing game. And we did that this game.
Do you know, Schultz actually was targeted 8 times for 58 yards, caught it 6. No one else was close. Amari Cooper was 3 targets for 3 receptions. Yeah. Mind you, no one else dropped one, I don't think. Oh, CeeDee Lamb, 5 targets for 2 receptions.
Yeah. That's why I started off. He was there, but he did not have his normal imposing. But it was fine because Cedric Wilson stood up to the fucking plate.
It's how our defense is always going to work. If CeeDee Lamb is being covered out of the game, then what are you going to do with Amari Cooper? What are you going to do with Zeke? What are you going to do with Schultz? What are you going to do with Cedric Wilson?
Yeah. And that's it. Also, I don't know if anybody caught Zeke's interviews after the game, but what you were saying earlier about, Zeke not looking like he just doesn't give a shit anymore. Like, in the interviews, he looks hungry and angry, and his complaint about, they were saying, like, how do you feel you've won? And he was like, well, we did, but, we let the foot off the gas and we have the team and the ability to punish these teams and we're not doing it and we need to do it. And I look forward to watching us break some of these teams. And I'm just like, yes, Zeke, here he is. Hello, where have you been all my life? But it's true. And it's nice that we're saying this and we've been saying this about our Cowboys for years. Right, is whenever we get a lead, we relax a bit. As I said, it was a bit different today, but still, when we're good, we do it. When we're bad, we're doing it. And it's nice to see the team going, no, we don't need to do that anymore. We need to start fucking killing these guys.
The team are saying it, but the coaches aren't. I know there's... They've came back and said there was back tightness, but Diggs was taken out when we had a 3-possession lead.
It was right after his second interception.
And then all of a sudden it was like, hang on a second, what we're doing? Like Panthers are just walking up the field and they're scoring on us. And you could actually see the difference Trayvon Diggs actually made on the field.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden it's just like, hang on a second, we could lose this.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen anything about Diggs being injured. I've looked every day.
I think they called it, I think, was it Pam Oliver? I can't remember who it was. They called it a player management at the time to say that player management, basically, he's done enough. He's having a rest. And then they've later called it back tightness.
Yeah, I saw something
which to me is like, all right, we fucked up. We shouldn't have taken him out so early. Let's cover up our thing. Let's say we couldn't see the clocks. Sorry, no, wrong excuse. Let's say that he has a sore back.
Hey guys, I'm going to have to sign off now, guys.
No worries, Rob. We will catch you later, my friend.
No worries, Rob. Thank you very much.
All right, see you guys.
See you later, man. Peace out.
So yeah, it seemed to me that they shouldn't have done that. They knew they shouldn't have done it, but
no,
they took him out. and it was evident. But because the first interception, we all wanted that interception. I was looking for it because I want Trayvon Diggs to carry on this interception per game.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one was just Diggs being in the right place at the right time and just hiding away between two receivers. If it had gone either way, I think Trayvon Diggs would have intercepted that ball. They could have thrown it to two different guys, and Trayvon Diggs was on it because I don't think Sam Darnold saw him. But the second one, just stop throwing it to Diggs. Just
yeah. The thing is, though, I think they're gonna. I think Diggs is gonna start getting a lot less action soon.
No, he's not.
People are wising up now.
No, yeah, but yeah, you imagine that, but Diggs was on DJ Moore all night, most of the night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then it's not like they're hiding him away. They're putting him on their top guys. So what, next week against Giants, he's going to be up against, who's he going to be on? Slayton, Shepard, Galladay? He'll probably be on Galladay.
Yeah.
Galladay, Danny Dimes is going to throw an interception to him, almost certainly.
Yeah. I'm saying three. Also, I'd just like to give myself massive props because I said, it was either the last podcast or the podcast before, I said something about Diggs, right? And Diggs did a post-match interview and they said to him, hey, Diggs, you're amazing. You keep getting your interceptions. Do you just study each player and work on how to beat each player? And he said, and I said this last week, before Diggs said it himself, he said, no, I don't study the players. I study the routes. So I know the routes that team runs. So I know where I need to be when they run the routes.
Yeah.
And that's what I said.
And he recognises
the difference with him. Yeah, but I just love it because if you listen to this podcast, you get information about the players before they even fucking know it themselves.
To be fair, Trayvon Diggs probably listens to this anyway. So,
yeah, clearly.
You know,
clearly,
he's a long-time listener. You know, and he listened to this before he was even a Cowboy, probably. And you could see him. You could see him sort of last week when he got his interception. You could see he knew the route. He was already on top of the route before. Yeah. It was a slip, but regardless of the slip, he was going to intercept that ball because he knew the route. He'd already he could work it out. Mm-hmm. And his first interception last night, he, like I said, he was standing between two players. He wasn't really covering anyone, but he knew that the ball was going to go one of
the
these ways.
Going one of the
and
others.
I'm getting in the way of it.
And he really does. He's because he's so quick, but he's also he doesn't look that big until he's in the way. And then suddenly he goes from being quite a small player to just being an absolute face of a guy with the ball just straight in his chest.
Yeah. He gets beat. I'm not going to... He does get beat. He got beat the other night, but not massively. And I think Darnold missed him. But one thing that I love about Diggs is that during the season, he's always practicing and he's always coming against Amari Cooper and CD Lamb. So he's always going to practice against them. In the off season, if he goes home for Christmas or anything like that, or he spends summer with his family, his brother's there. He's going to be practicing against Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he's practiced against Stephon Diggs his entire life. You know,
my
one thing I really wanted was to play the Bills this year, just for that. I'd love to.
Oh my God! Can you imagine?
Oh no! Because
you imagine?
Because Rob said it earlier, and Rob has called a Bills Cowboys Super Bowl. And can you imagine how amazing that would be? You know,
oh my God.
You know,
I didn't even think about the Diggs brothers. I was thinking about everything else. So, by the way,
of
if
the Bills,
you're listening to the podcast, just so you know, we're not saying it's too early to call. We're not saying the Cowboys are going to get to a Super Bowl. But Rob was, as he is doing, he's an excitable American. He was like, we're going to get to a Super Bowl. So Bill posed the question, well, if we do, who we play in? And then we did have a bit of fun about beating the Bills because the last time the Bills got to the Super Bowl, I believe, was against us, and we beat them.
Been to the Super Bowl 5 times and never come back with it. And we were responsible for 3 of those failures.
Oh, I thought it was 2 of them.
It might be 2. I think it was 2. It's definitely with 2 with the Troy Aikman period, but I think we might have also been responsible with the Roger Staubach one. But to get them there again and then to send them home again, but to have that Diggs
I didn't even think about Digsby Diggs. Yeah, that would be a dream, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that
be a dream?
No, it's too much to think about at this moment because we're not that kind of podcast, I'm afraid, people.
We
don't blindly fall into Scooter McGruger type. We're going to the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. He's a long time listener.
We've never talked about Scooter on this podcast. And I'd just like to say, and I know this is a very British thing, but it's true. I love him. I love him as a Cowboys fan. He's good fun. He's got a great sense of humour. And some of his videos are accurate as fuck.
Yes.
But please, Scooter, please shut the fuck up about Jesus. Shut up about Jesus. We follow you for football. I don't follow you for on a Sunday whilst I'm looking for football tweets every 30 minutes to have you trying to convert me back to Christianity. Shut the fuck up. And that's my controversial view of the day.
Well, that's just alienated a few people.
It has. And I invite you to tweet your anger at me. We are yet to receive a tweet or Facebook. Have we received any Facebook messages from anybody?
Not recently.
Not recently.
No angry Catholic ones or angry Eagles ones.
So if you ever disagree with anything we say and you want to call me an over-opinionated lefty prick, please tweet us at 10 Cowboys. At 10 Cowboys. Or go on the Facebook, and which is the what's the Facebook page called, Bill?
UK Cowboys Podcast.
UK Cowboys Podcast, or at 10 Cowboys
on
Twitter.
Send us a message. Ben's the lefty. Rob's the American excitable one, Trump supporting, and I'm the one that sits cleverly in the middle with the sensible options.
I mean, fence post swing is a bit more accurate, but you know, whatever.
it's either that or I have my opinions and I just keep them to myself for the fear that I might scare everyone.
I mean you are northern, you know, Yorkshire, isn't it?
No, Lancashire, get real. Come on, we had to have a fight about this.
Oh yeah, it is Lancashire. That's it. Yeah, you saw you're a hot pot, didn't you? Yeah, there we go.
Hello to all my northern Cowboys fans.
I think there's about eight of you.
There's a few of us. Cowboys fans have to be realists, and if there's anything in the world that's realist, it's a northerner.
Yeah, that's true. I saw a new Cowboys fan in Plymouth the other day. I was very impressed. I mean, the problem is, though, these days, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's, I think, a couple places like Topman and that are selling a few NFL tops. So, like, I've seen a girl in a Cowboys, like, T-shirt as opposed to a jersey. And I was like, I'm not going to say Cowboys because there's a chance she just bought it because she thinks it looks cool.
Yeah. It's the same when you get... We have a... Me and my missus, who's an American herself, have a bit of a fun thing when you see people wearing T-shirts and jumpers and stuff that are clearly attempting to be fake American colleges.
Yeah.
That, to me, is just ridiculous.
Oh, do you know what gets me is just how many people have Raiders merch and don't even know they're an NFL team. That's the thing in the UK. I don't know if you get that as much in America, but because obviously a lot of the great hip hop stars, you know, used to rep the Raiders, because of that, there's a lot of people in the UK that genuinely, like my girlfriend's sister's boyfriend was wearing a Raiders cap the other day, and I know for a fact he knows nothing about American football.
There is a series of merchandise that people just call New York merchandise, which is actually Yankees merchandise. It's the baseball team.
Yeah, that's true.
Everyone wears it. My cousin once came up to me and said, You're always wearing American sports stuff. You're always, you see, if it's not baseball, it's football. Why can't you wear something that's soccer? That's, you know, Man United or Preston North End. I'm like, you're wearing a New York Yankees cap.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm not. I'm wearing a New York cap. And I'm like, no, that's a New York Yankees cap.
Yeah. Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth?
Fuck, speaking of New York, beautiful yes. segue.
What
Let's move on to the Giants game.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking? I have a funny suspicion that we both are going to agree that this is just going to be slaughter.
Oh, absolute slaughter. Oh, absolute slaughter. Don't get me wrong. I think Saquon is going to eat us for a TD, maybe two. And I think Jones is probably going to throw a TD, but I genuinely think he's going to throw 2+ interceptions. I think
he's definitely 2 interceptions. Trayvon Diggs, I really hope he gets his one, because no, he's equaled the record. No one has ever had five in a row.
What, nobody's ever had five games in a row?
No one on the Cowboys has ever intercepted for five in a row.
So I
very much like. Do you remember who the last one to actually do 5 in a season was?
No idea.
Terrence Newman.
Yeah. I'd have never got that.
So we're talking 12 years ago?
Is it 12 years? Yeah. It's
probably, yeah. I really hope he gets it. I can see Daniel Jones, to me, isn't the best quarterback in the world. I think the Giants are probably going to be quite high up in the draft next year and probably will be looking at whether they're going to keep him or not. This is his year where he's got to prove himself. I just think, with proving himself, I just think this is the game our defense needs to step up. We've allowed 400 yards each game. We need to show that our defense can stop a team, albeit a bad one. We need to show our defense can stop a team.
Yeah, no, agreed. And I mean, it's one of those, isn't it, with the Giants? Like, everything is written for us to smash them. But I would be quite comfortable saying before the game that it will finish with a 3-score lead. I think that's a fair assumption.
We forgot the thing that it's an NFC East game, didn't we?
This is where I was going. That not only that though, but it is the Giants, and like, I know everybody always talks about the Eagles rivalry and the Washington rivalry, and you know, and then we don't like the Giants, but nobody really talks about Giants. But the Giants are one of those teams that, you know, when they're shit, they do pull out the odd win, and often it is against the Dallas fucking Cowboys.
The worst bit about the Giants is that twice they've done it to me. They've broke Dak's ankle last year.
And
they broke Tony Romo's ribs.
That's the point. That's a fucking point.
That. And it's always the Giants that injure us.
That's very true.
Not during a season, because it was the Seahawks that actually ended Tony Hawk's career. Although Tony Romo. Tony Romo's career was because of the Seahawks. Because it was the Seahawks, I think, in a friendly, in a pre-season. But it was the Giants that always injured him and ended his seasons. And they did the same with Dak last year. So
that is
fucking
true.
Better not be doing it this year. Because without Dak, as you said it so eloquently last week, we are fucked.
We are fucked about Dak, yeah. And may I just say, we were saying about how nice it is to see, you know, the Zeke argument has been shut down. Now, Zeke is a great quarterback. We were just using him when we needed him, and now we need him, and he fucking came. You know, him and the TP, they got the
he
double
did what?
Punt. You know what? He jizzed everywhere.
He probably did. There were some sweet moves.
Well, that's why his hair's always frazzled, because that's his cum face. No, but
I hate to see what the teaspoon thing is. Then don't feed him.
Yeah, fair. Bukaki. Anyway,
Bukaki plays for the Raiders.
But yeah, he does. Oh, sorry, I'm completely going off my point. But I found out something the other day that I didn't know. Did you know there's a defensive player for the Steelers called Cunts?
I did not.
Yes. Yes, he's called, I don't know his first name, but it's K Cunts, which is, yeah, and I only know that because I was playing the NFL numbers game, and I had a low number, so I clicked to see who played for it, and I thought it just said Pittsburgh Steeler. I think he was a safety or cornerback or something, and it just said, yeah, it just said C Cunts, and I was like, how has that evaded me for this long? Well, that's an amazing name. Yeah, K-U-N-T-S, C Cunts. Anyway, back to what I was saying.
It's still not as good as Tommy Tremble.
No, it's not as good as Tremble. Oh, and our man Basham getting a sack, by the way. Talking a great day. Basham got a sack, you absolute legend. But back to my original point. With seeing the media, you know, being good about Zeke for once, it's also nice seeing the media actually saying, yes, Dak is a good quarterback. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Who aren't just Cowboys fans. People saying, oh, maybe this is a top five offense. And we're like, we've been saying it. It was last year because our defense. Yeah.
This is temporary.
They'll turn on us.
There's a lot of bandwagon jumping here. And I think, you know, I think you either get on now or you stay the fuck off it because you can't jump on this bandwagon once we've hit 4-1.
Oh no, it's nice to see people, you know, giving us support, but no fake fans. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, we've earned this. Me, you, and Rob have fucking earned this.
We haven't got anything yet. We've had this before. Just be careful.
No. I'm not. Please don't think I'm saying we've earned getting to Super Bowl. I mean, we've just earned, like. We've always believed in our team. We've picked the problems apart, but we've always believed. We've always been realists. We've said when we're shit, but we've said Dak's good, but this is a problem. Zeke's good, but this is a problem. Our O-line's good, but this is a. We've always been like that, but we've always said it's good. When everyone else has been saying, "Oh, your O-line's shit," "Oh, Dak is shit," "Oh, Zeke is shit," and all I'm saying is, it's nice to see people finally actually waking up and going, oh, you're right. When it all works together, it is good.
Top five. Dak is easily top five. Yeah, I do want to say that Sam Darnold, I still always said that he was a better quarterback than the Jets ever showed, and he was.
Yeah, and he is. And he is. Credit to Sam Darnold for that game. I mean, I know we spanked them, but Darnold looked great. He looks like a good quarterback at the moment. He looks fresh. He looks happy. He looks hungry.
And the other thing is, it was almost a bit of a shame because the Panthers are probably the only team that are going to actually challenge the Bucks to the and Tom Brady to the, winning that division.
Yeah,
I really don't want that again.
No. Which, and by
was,
the way,
I was cheering for the Patriots over the weekend. Well, that's how bad it was.
This is what. So you know when I said in the chat before the podcast, I've got a revelation. This is my revelation. I've always hated the Patriots. I've always hated Tom Brady, right? I hate the Eagles. When the Eagles played the Pats with Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, for that only for the last score, but for the last quarter, I was on the Eagles' side. I wouldn't say I was cheering them on, but I wanted them to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots. So when Tom Brady fought the Patriots, I was like, I just want to draw. But actually, when it happened, I was like, I want the Patriots to win this, which proves it, as you just said. And I never knew this. This is a new revelation to me, but I hate Tom Brady more than I hate the Patriots.
So I kind of got swept up in a little bit of stuff last week. And I was like, you know what, Tom Brady, maybe he is good. He is good. And maybe he isn't as, you know, I wasn't warm into him. I fucking hate him. But it was maybe I am irrational. And then he got sacked. And he got sacked in the game. And you could see him. Whenever anyone gets sacked in a game of football, right, as a quarterback, they've been sacked many a time before. And they, you see them, they lie on the floor, but they're looking at the pass they've just thrown or looking at what they've done, making sure everything's all right. The dude gets off them, and then they just kind of get back up, dust themselves down, go into the huddle, and they're good. It's almost like a nonchalant, this like fucking brick house has just knocked me to the floor violently, but I'm just not going to show any emotion. I'll just get back up. It happens all the time. And that's what quarterbacks do. Tom Brady fucking doesn't do that. He bitches and moans, and he was like, get the fuck off. You can actually see him go, get the fuck off me. And I was like, oh, I really hate you more now, because you've just proven to me and everyone else why I fucking hate you.
And let's look over the fact that he very rarely throws more than 15 yards a throw. But, you know, nobody likes to talk about that, do they?
No.
But anyway,
we don't need to talk about him anymore. So yeah, I wanted the Panthers to. I didn't want the Panthers to win, but I want them to pretty much go unbeaten now. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because it's going to be hard to get in those playoffs on a wild card with everything in the NFC South.
Yeah.
NFC West, sorry. Because you know, if the Cardinals don't win it, then the Rams, the 49ers. They're all going to have a chance at that wild card position. There's going to be no one from the NFC East getting a wild card position. I'll tell you that for a start.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a fact. And as long as we don't get injuries, it won't be an issue.
And we got a lot of people coming back for this Giants game as well.
We have.
Because Dorrance Armstrong wasn't there.
Yeah.
We should be seeing... We've still got, like, in the latter stages of the next sort of 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we'll have DeMarcus Lawrence will be coming back. We'll have Lyle Collins coming back.
We've got Gallup coming
back. All of a sudden, that's when our schedule gets hard. We've got a relatively easy schedule now. We had one blip. We've got the Pats coming up. I don't fear the Pats.
No. I think though that's going to be a good game. I think because the Pats are starting to find their stride. Mac Jones is starting to
warm up a little bit. The other night. That's not just my bias.
No. It's statistically he was far better than Brady. Yeah. Far better than Brady. He threw two touchdowns. I don't think Brady threw one.
No, I don't think he did.
No, and I think Brady threw an interception.
He probably He'll have had a documentary coming about how he's never had a no-touchdown game or something.
Yeah.
He's just a self-publicising twat. He really is.
Yeah. Fuck Tom Brady. Anyway, we've spoke about him far too much already. Right, so now, Rob, as somebody of you will have realised, Rob left suddenly. He's got some shit going on, so we said sign out when you need to sign out. But when he did sign out, he did send a text to the group saying, I predict we beat the Panthers by 11, which brings me nicely into the conversation. I've said I think... I predict we beat the Giants by 11, which brings us nicely. I'm saying it's a three-score game. So I'm going to say we win 31-10. Or no, 31-9.
That
31-9. Let's say 31-9.
Hang on, how are you going to do 9? That's
3. Oh, no, 10.
That's
10.
If you went 9, you're either saying that's 3 10, field goals 10, 10, or,
sorry. Yeah, yeah.
Or a touchdown or and a safety.
Yeah. No, or a touchdown and missed kick and a field goal.
Missed kick and a field goal, yeah, you could do that.
But no. I'm going to say 30. No, let's say 31-10. Let's say 31-10.
I like your 31-10, but I think once we've got 31, I don't think we'd stop. I think we'd carry on having a go at them.
You see, I think that's just still not stopping, but I don't
But I've got a funny feeling that we're going to be up sort of 21-3 at the half.
Saying that, genuine question, because I can't think any now. Because I think have they got Landon Collins? Who have they got defensively?
They had Landon Collins.
Have they still got London Collins? Yeah.
To be fair, they've not got a great deal of players at the moment.
They don't, do they?
They tended to have a bit of a bad time with everything that they did. The they did quite well with their secondary, but then they all wanted to leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always quite liked Apple. He left.
Eli Apple. Yeah, I forgot about him.
There was a guy, I can't remember his name, that they traded to. Did they have Darius Slay?
Yeah, did they have him or have they still got him?
No, they traded him away. The Eagles.
That's it. He's at the Eagles. Because Darius Slay, he's not a bad player. He was better on Madden, but still. this was a few years ago. That's a good point. Actually, they don't really have anyone on defense, do they?
Nothing that would scare me. You would want something that's a bit more, you would need more stronger position players. You can't run a team off one amazing player in your defense. No. It just doesn't work.
No.
You need strength throughout, and they don't really have it.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Anywhere on the field, to be fair.
So what's your prediction then? Well, apart from Saquon Barkley, Barkley's good.
I don't know. I liked that 21-3 at halftime. All right, I'm gonna stay with you. So let's do 21-3 at halftime. Oh, I think we're getting close to putting a 40 burger on them. 40-10, maybe. 41-10, 42-10.
Nice.
It's going to be embarrassing. I could see it. I think it's going to be a statement.
I hope you're right.
I think everyone's starting to listen to the Cowboys now. And they're going to go out there and hit them hard. And just embarrass them.
Yeah, I think we are. Are we home or away?
We are away.
Oh, in New York as well. Oh, that'll be nice. Yeah, I agree. I think we're going to annihilate them. And I'm assuming, Rob says we'll win by 11. So he thinks we'll beat them.
I think I've just got winning by 31.
I'm going to go 20. Well, there we go, actually. Yeah. 11, 21 and 31.
There you go.
So, in fact, what's an 11 score? That's like 3 kicks and a safety.
yeah, you'd need a safety in there, or at least a failed field goal attempt. No, hang on.
No. He said we beat them by 11.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. That's a little bit different. Yeah, okay. All right, cool. Well, that'd be interesting. Right, Bill, we've talked the Cowboys v. the Panthers. We've talked about coming up against the Giants. We've done a little bit around the league. I'm trying to think if there's anything else to talk about around the league.
The Eagles lost.
Yeah.
The Eagles lost.
That's the point, actually. Giants and the football team won. Well.
Yeah. So they kind of creeped up behind us again, though. I think that was the Giants' first win.
Yeah.
But the Washington have got two, I think. So I think we're 3-1 and they'll be 2-2 and the Eagles will be.
I'll tell you what, did you watch any of the Washington Falcons game?
I watched Red Zone.
Heineke looked pretty good for somebody that was getting in a lot of trouble. He was looking fun, and I liked it when he threw that emergency touchdown and he fell on his back. And then someone caught it. And as they caught it and went in, the camera panned back to him. And he was lying on his back. And he lifted up his arm like he was holding a shotgun. He just went, ksh, ksh. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's fucking amazing. Fair play, Heineke. Fair fucking play.
I like that. See, Brady, you don't have to be a dick about it.
Yeah. Heineke took the fall, got the touchdown, and then pretended to shoot someone. I don't know, man. Like, don't get me wrong, fuck Washington, but I like Heineke, man. He kind of came from behind last year. He secured himself the starting role, and he's just got spunk, that lad. He's fun to watch. I don't necessarily think he's great, and I think he's on a terrible team, but he's a fun quarterback to watch, definitely.
We've got the London game coming up this weekend as well.
Yeah,
the Falcons will be there at the Jets. So we've got a nice, a lovely day of football where it's half one Falcons Jets, not necessarily thrilling. But as soon as that's finished, bit of a break.
Oh, I just agree.
Bit of a break for tea, and then 6 o'clock games, half nine games, half one games, sleep.
Yeah, that's a good day. But I've got to say, I disagree with that. I think the Falcons-Jets game is going to be insane. The Jets have started to understand. Now they've got Crowder back. They're like, yes, somebody I could throw to. But they're going to get sacked because that's what the Jets do. The Falcons are, you know, can throw the ball, but they're ropey on offense. They can stop the ball, but they're ropey on defense. I think it's going to be, both teams are going to make a lot of mistakes, but I think both teams are going to score a lot of touchdowns. I think it's going to be a really high scoring game. I think one team's going to win by like maybe 3 points, and each team's going to score over 25, 30 each, I think.
It's going to
be
right.
A big game.
I hope you're right. I have a ticket for that one, so I'll be there somewhere. I don't know. First of all, I have to hoof it down the M6 and M1 to Tottenham and back in a day. So it better
had, to go to it, Tottenham.
It better had be a good game. That's all I can say.
I suppose it's good for Tottenham though, isn't it? You know, to have cheering in their stands. So
football reference.
My best mate's a Spurs fan, man. I love giving him shit. It was hilarious before the Anthony Joshua fight. It was like, oh, it's nice to see a title finally being defended in the Spurs ground. But he didn't even defend it, so yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the ground because it is an NFL ground as well as a Premier League ground. I was looking forward to that because as wonderful as Wembley is, they built the stadium specifically with having it as an NFL stadium as well as a Premier League stadium in mind.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But at the same time, Wembley's easier to get to. Wembley's national stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean Wembley's Wembley, isn't it? I've only ever been to Wembley once, and that was to watch the almighty Plymouth Argyle lose in the final for promotion out of League Two against AFC Wimbledon. The bastards.
On a complete tangent, I'm not even sure if it's Wembley or not, but SummerSlam's going to be here next year. In the WWE.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's in the UK.
Who cares about WWE anymore? Bring on AEW all the way. Right, well, Bill, I reckon that sounds like we're running out of shit to talk to.
I think it does.
Yes, so I think we should probably call it. But as always, thanks for listening. If you are, abuse us at 10 Cowboys on Twitter or the UK Dallas Cowboys podcast on Facebook.
Especially if you disagree with us.
Yes.
We want to know if you disagree with us. I also want to know if you
agree with me.
And if you have a valid enough point, we'll give you a call and you can come on the show. And you can argue your point on the show.
That's true. In fact, actually, we keep talking about guests every year. We've not fucking done it.
Every year.
I have a diehard Eagles fan who would love to come and do an Eagles podcast with us the next time we play the Eagles. So I say we get him on.
Bring him on. We can take it. Because let's face it, he's going to get bent over and rooted.
Well, it's very, he gives us shit all the time. But like I know it. Like he texted me the other day and he was just like, yeah, if the Cowboys don't win this league, then you are shit because we ain't doing fuck all. No one else is doing fuck all. And you guys look like you could be amazing. And that was after game one. That was after we lost to the Bucks. He was like, "You guys, if you guys lose this, the NFC East, your dog shit." And he was like, "You guys, it's yours to win. It's yours to lose." Like, and he every year just goes, your shit gives me shit. And he opened up the year by basically conceding it. And I was like, wow, they must be terrible at the moment.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, they are. Again, though, like Heinicke, like Hertz is fun to watch. Heinicke's more fun to watch, but Hertz is fun to watch. I like seeing rookie quarterbacks that look hungry and don't give a shit. And that's why I like Hertz. That's why I like Heinicke, just to watch him. That's why I like Sam Darnold, even though he's not a rookie anymore. It's also one of the reasons why I don't like Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a bust Tom Brady in my eyes.
He's not doing so great, but one thing I will say is that Justin Herbert is looking like the best quarterback in the actual league.
I don't think that's a secret. I think Justin Herbert is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think he proved it last year, and you know things aren't going completely his way this year, but he just looks brilliant. He reminds me a lot of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but I think he reads things more sensibly than Patrick Mahomes. Maybe not a good thing, but certainly not a bad thing either.
I do think he reads things more sensibly than Patrick Mahomes, but then it's not necessarily that. I think Pat Mahomes reads the same things. I just think Pat Mahomes is a bit more of a gambler. And Pat Mahomes is like, yeah, I probably shouldn't throw this, but like I can bend the ball like a superhero, so let's give it a fucking go. His side passes where he like loops the ball around the defender into the arms of Kelce, and he does it all the time. And it looks like something out of the Matrix, and I fucking love watching it. It's so good. So good. And because he does shit like that, he's on the reg. Oh, that was the other thing with Mahomes. I don't know if you've seen much of the things. Mahomes with some of the most dangerous shovel passes I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They're pulling off.
How the hell? That's going to go wrong one day.
Someone's going to go wrong.
Now, Paddy, stop it.
And I'm just praying it's Trevon Diggs for us. But it's ridiculous. Well, actually, probably wouldn't be Diggs. It'd probably be like Lawrence or Gregory with the way it's going.
Yeah.
With the way he's posed it. But yeah, you've got like Clyde Edwards-Helaire who, and this is I have this under authority. He's about 2 foot tall, and you've got him. You've got him on the line into the red zone with like 10 defenders around him, and somehow, as he runs past the defenders, Mahomes manages to shovel pass it between the knees of the defenders into Helaire's tiny little elf-like hands and get a touchdown. And he did it twice. In the same game, he did the same fucking move. It was like, how does he get away? But the thing is, though, when you watch the second one back, you actually see Mahomes look at it, look to the right, look back and think, no, yeah, I can do that and it's not going to be intercepted. But you see the thought process go through his brain. And that's why he's fucking brilliant. And I pray that he looks that good when we play them and we kick his fucking ass. yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, if we can beat the Chiefs when Mahomes is throwing bombs, then
we could beat anyone.
Then we can beat anyone.
Yeah.
Then we can beat anyone, and that's a fact. Anyway, we will actually leave now. So hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Facebook. Don't smoke crack. Love. We will be back with Rob for the full podcast next week. I like Nancy Reagan.